listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Tonight at 10:30 on Sports Time Ohio, it's Training Camp Daily. TCD takes you onto the sideline and into the huddle with the Browns. Tonight on Training Camp Daily, Jim Donovan goes one-on-one with Andrew Hawkins. Jim will be joined by Tony Grossi and Dustin Fox, and the guys will break down the Browns' first preseason game against the Lions. And we'll hear from both Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer on their first preseason game. That's all tonight at 10:30 on Training Camp Daily. Training Camp Daily, presented by PNC Bank, tonight on Sports Time Ohio. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Taylor Gabriel, great kid, definitely rooting for him. And he continues to play well and certainly opens some eyes around here in Berea. And it'll be interesting to see what he does with the lights on bright. Coming up on today's show, we've got a lot to get to. Jim Donovan will be with us at 2 p.m. We will have the Brian Hoyer press conference in its entirety at 1:30, the Johnny Manziel press conference in its entirety at 2:30, and three-time Super Bowl champion Jerod Cherry joins us for three questions with the three-time Super Bowl champ at 2:45. Then Vic, I think we got to start with the quarterback situation. So far today, Mike Pettine saying that, you know, nothing has changed on the depth chart. He has not announced a starter for the game against Washington on Monday night. Brian Hoyer did take the first team reps today. Johnny Manziel took the second team rep. So I don't know if we can read anything into that just yet. He did say the reps will be mixed this week. But, you know, if Johnny Manziel does not start against the Washington Redskins, I don't know that there was really truly a competition. And I would say that competition is over.
Yeah, if he doesn't start against the Redskins, it's hard to make the case that there's a fair competition. I want to see the guy work with the ones. I was compelled to want that prior to what he did against Detroit, and I think what he did against Detroit in many ways was reflective of what the conditions are when you're working with the twos. He did not have the best of protection. In fact, his protection was very leaky, and as much as everybody has said the politically correct thing about the number twos off on the offensive line, they didn't play that well. Now, did he bring some of that onto himself? Yes. Was he slow on some reads, and did that cause some of the protection issues for him? Absolutely. Of those six runs, they weren't all because of leaks, and I think one or two were designed plays. But for the most part, I thought he was on the move. He had to definitely take some hits when he released the ball in a couple of those plays, and I liked how he hung in there at the last possible minute to make a play. I liked when he ran on the 16-yard run that he learned how to slide, and that does come
beautiful
from a baseball
slide.
background. It was an artistic slide that allowed him to stay safe. Smart slide is what I call it. But he did have a head-first slide on an 8-yarder that caused some contact that made me a little uneasy in my chair in the press box. I started to say, okay, we can't be seeing too much of that. Look, if he's running that many times a game, and if you kind of broke that out over the course of the game, it could have been upwards a dozen times of running by Manziel. The odds of getting hurt, the odds of having a shorter time in this league are increased. This has been the concern about Johnny Manziel, is that his game, when it's at its best, is about running around. And when you're running around, you're exposed to hits. And unlike, say, a Cam Newton, unlike a larger guy or a Colin Kaepernick, he is probably less likely to withstand the blows that some of those other quarterbacks take. So I want to see him work much better and more consistently from the pocket, and that's got to come along. But the thing you like about Manziel, the thing that made, and I wrote this for ClevelandBrowns.com, makes the competition so intriguing in my mind and made it even more intriguing, is that he can do things when it does break down that are special that Brian Hoyer can't do. That's just not part of his game. Brian had a very sound and solid outing, but the difference we saw in those two quarterbacks, Nathan, is that when the stuff goes awry, which it always does, Johnny Manziel's got another answer that Brian Hoyer doesn't have.
There's no question about it. And Brian Hoyer on the day, the final numbers for him, 6 of 14, 92 yards. I think he was better than those numbers indicate. I thought there were a couple drops out there. Miles Austin maybe could have brought one in. Josh Gordon could have brought one in. Maybe Andrew Hawkins on throws that were not necessarily perfect, but certainly catchable. You'd like to see guys make plays there. Brian Hoyer, very solid, though. He knows what he's doing, goes through his reads. Maybe he left one or two reads out on the field that he would have liked to have had back. But I thought he was good. And again, it goes back to what I said before. This is not about, in my opinion, what you see from Brian Hoyer. This competition will ultimately come down to, if it is a competition, what you see from Johnny Manziel. Because
correct.
Brian Hoyer is Brian Hoyer. You know what you're going to get from him. You know what he can do. You know what he cannot do. And ultimately, the success of this team with him as the quarterback will come down to third down conversions in opposing territory and the ability to finish in the red zone. This game, he was 0 for 4 on third downs in opposing territory. They did not produce in the red zone. No touchdowns for this offense. Now, Johnny Manziel didn't produce a touchdown either. When they got near the red zone, Deion Lewis fumbled on first down after a nice lengthy drive from Johnny down there at the Detroit 29-yard line. But Brian Hoyer, again, he is exactly what you thought he was. He's very solid, smart with the football. He is a guy right now, I think, if you look at the Browns, can you say for sure he gives you the best chance to win? I don't think you can say that. I think what the coaches would think in their minds, though, is that he certainly gives you the best chance not to lose.
Yeah.
Which is very, very different when you look at these quarterbacks. Johnny Manziel, though, very good poise in the pocket, 7 of 11, 63 yards, missed a couple of reads. I thought he had Willie Snead on a hot read against the nickel blitz on a 3rd and 5. He ended up checking it down short of the first down. But you can see his athleticism, the pressure it puts on a defense. I thought he made some very strong throws from the pocket. I think his ball has the most zip of any quarterback on this team. And overall, considering that Brian Hoyer is behind a line that got one pressure on 15 dropbacks and Johnny Manziel was on a line that got him 9 pressures on 14 dropbacks, you want to see Johnny work with the ones and see what you really have under a controlled environment.
Right. I think it'll expand the evaluation process in a very good way, I think, and make it – it's not just for the sake of fairness. I think it's for the sake of the team making sure it will have the right guy on the field September 7th. If this is all about – playing it safe. If this is all about getting the guy who gives you the least chance to lose, then Brian Hoyer right now today is the choice, the safer choice. I really believe that. If it's about the takeoff point for Johnny Manziel, because that point is going to come eventually, and you decide that now is the time to just launch it, because I think in many ways, in what he did on Saturday, not from a public or a media reaction, but I think from a within the team reaction, there was that launching sense. I think there was excitement. I think there was a real fire. I thought the players on the sidelines, I kept watching them as the starters who were on the sidelines while Johnny Manziel was out there working things, were enthusiastic. They were curious, as we all are, to see what he could do. And I loved, one of the things I really loved, and I don't know how many people picked this up, but there was a false start penalty, and the first thing Johnny did was he starts clapping his hands, walking toward and urging and said, look, okay, we screwed this up. Let's get it all together, regroup, we'll come back. And I think he does have that natural sense. It's hard to gauge what kind of engagement he does have, because unlike any of the quarterbacks, and unlike a lot of the players, always got those headsets on, like pregame warmups. He's in his own world, and that's okay, I guess, to some degree, but I still want my quarterback. This is where the traditionalist in me comes out.
Yeah.
I want my quarterback to be more of the consensus builder, more of the engaged guy. Now, when he was in there and in that huddle, he did look that way. Maybe that's all that counts, but I still would like to see the guy show that when he's not when he's not on the field. I want to see how much team connection he has, and I think right now, and maybe – this is a function of him not working with the ones and not really feeling connected with the ones, that he's not quite there yet with that feeling.
Yeah. And, I was down on the sideline, obviously doing the radio broadcast for the game. And, when he
great
had,
job,
when
by
he
way.
Had, the,
I want to tell you, your
oh,
first
you.
Outing as a sideline reporter, it sounded great.
I appreciate that, Notorious. Thank you. I was able to watch, and see a lot of how players reacted to things. And I'll tell you this, when Johnny was on the field, there were a lot of people standing on the bench to look over the first line. There were a lot of eyes on Johnny. They wanted to see Johnny. And when he had that 16-yard scramble for the first down that resulted in the nice hook slide out there, very nicely done, good form, there were guys on the sideline who were kind of doing the money sign and dancing around, like, look at Johnny run.
Right.
So there is a level of excitement that he brings without any question about that. And there is also, kind of the level of youth and energy that he brings versus – and this is not saying that one is better than the other. And then there's the level of professionalism that Brian Hoyer brings to the table and kind of the known commodity that he is. I think one thing I said this on Twitter, but I also want to say this on the radio too, because I think it's very important. There's been a lot of talk made about Dante Whitner's comment to Peter King that the locker room was split 50-50 on Hoyer and Manziel.
Right.
That makes it sound like there is half the room that wants Hoyer and half the room that wants Manziel. And that's not the case. And I've talked to actually Dante about this. And that's not what he was trying to articulate. What he was saying is that basically Johnny has done enough in most people's eyes in that locker room to say, make them feel comfortable that if he was the guy, that he's the guy. Mm-hmm. So that they feel they have two guys who are the guy. So they're basically split 50-50 in the sense that they are, one way or the other, they know they have a guy that they feel they can win with. And I think that's very important, and I think that's good for Brian Hoyer, and I also think it's good for Johnny Manziel, and I think it's good for this team that there is that feeling that these guys can both get the job done. So I don't think it's a split in the sense that some people are saying, hey, we got to have him, hey, we've got to have him, but we can't have the – it's more of just a general belief that both of these quarterbacks are capable of being the guy.
And here's the other part about that. I don't think that – Dante Whitner, and I wasn't part of the conversation he had with Peter King, who was in Detroit, and actually he's going to be out of training camp tomorrow, and I think we hope to have him on the show here, by the way, tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, it was a scientific, this is an exact 50-50 split of the room. I think he was speaking off the cuff, and I think you're right. It was more about the confidence level that more players in the room are starting to have, because that started pretty much at zero when a rookie comes in at quarterback, and not so much resentment, but I think a feeling when he first got here that there was a lot of hype. And what is this hype all about? Show us something. And he's gone about doing that. And it's taken a little bit of time, but there's more there. I think that's the vibe I've been getting from this team, is that especially in the latter stages of practice last week leading up to this first game, that he had more credibility within the locker room. And I think that's part of what a large part of what Dante Whitner was reflecting. Now, it's fair to say that Brian Hoyer is going to have his supporters who know, having gone to battle with him in regular season games, what he's all about, who have caught the rock from him. A guy like a Jordan Cameron would have to absolutely be a Brian Hoyer guy, in the sense of they've got chemistry and a connection of quarterback to pass catcher. So that's one thing. Josh Gordon, maybe in his if you really had to pin him down, would probably say, look, I know what this guy can do. I've caught a lot of practice passes from him. He was on this team last year. He's a guy I can trust. We've won games with him. They don't know this about Johnny Manziel, so that's still a feeling out process. But I don't think this much I think is true. I don't think there's anybody in there. I'll say this without being in that domain and not scientifically surveying everybody. I don't think there's any guy in there that says, God, we should not start this guy. Keep this guy away from starting this team. That's different than saying we should start him, but I don't know that it would, if it turned out that he were the starter at the beginning of the year, that you've got any members of this team who would be steadfast against that.
No, I agree. I agree with that. We're going to bring you Brian Hoyer's press conference. Brian Hoyer's press conference in its entirety in just a few moments in the second hour as well. Vic and I will go through that preseason game. Let's talk about some guys who really stood out to us on offense and defense, some surprises, and some guys we still want to see step up. So that'll come up a little bit later on in this hour and into the second hour. Before we get to Brian Hoyer's press conference, so let's go to Reggie in Youngstown real quickly for his thoughts on the Detroit game. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Good to talk to you. I always enjoy talking to you guys and stuff. Hey, guys, I watched the game and stuff. I was really excited. I enjoyed it a whole lot and everything like that. But I thought, personally, myself, I thought Brian did a very good job. Johnny, I don't think he did too bad. But I didn't really, for me, guys, I didn't really see enough to say that he should particularly be with the first team. I mean, maybe you guys can explain it better for me general, but I just didn't see it, guys.
I thought he played great behind a line that gave him very little protection. Yeah, of course, the one thing, and he said it in his postgame press conference, he needs to work on the most are going through his progressions quickly, and you could see that on the tape. There were a couple times where I think he had an opportunity to get through to a third receiver and make a play where he did not. Now, one of those he still ran and did well. But I don't know what you really want to see out of him that you didn't see. You saw unbelievable, I thought, poise in the pocket. You saw toughness as he took some big shots and got right back up. You saw the pressure
he
can put on.
He got shook up a couple times. That one time when he ran, it was like third and I don't know what was it, two or three
third
or something.
And one.
Yeah, he tried to run. He got shook on that. I don't know if you noticed that.
No. I think you're thinking. I'm sorry, Reggie. I think you're thinking about an 8-yarder he had where he slid head first on the one where he ran to the outside and got the first down. He didn't really
I think he might be talking about the third and one where he tried to dive.
The dive.
Tried
okay.
to get in there and mix it up like
I'm
a fullback.
And that was okay. I'm thinking of two different plays, but he did pick up the first on the other one to the outside. The one toward the middle, and I think the longer run also was a little bit of a middle contact area. But he took some, look, I said this before, I'll say it again. His exposure to hits is a concern. It's why teams did not draft him. It's why teams shied away from his game. Part of it was definitely that, because of durability concern. And I've had some of the best and smartest minds who have been in this game. Bill Polian, for one, six-time NFL Executive of the Year, tell me that if you go down the road of drafting a Johnny Manziel, this was prior to the draft, make sure you have a really good backup. Your plan as a team has to be competent backup who you expect to play, because Johnny Manziel probably doesn't give you a full season because of the contact he's going to get. So I think those are warnings to heed, and it could very well play into what this team's about. Right now, if Brian Hoyer isn't your starter, is he not a very competent backup? I'd say yes, absolutely.
You'd feel great about him.
I think you'd have to feel tremendous that you've got a guy who is, as we said, just Hoyer-like all the time. Being Hoyer-like, it could be good enough to start for a team while you're waiting for the other guy to kind of learn and season, or it's definitely a backup player that you could feel very good about who could indeed see action. So we'll see how that all comes out. But yes, next we are going to hear, speaking of Hoyer, some sound from him from today's news conference, post-practice news conference. Vic Carucci with Nathan Zagura on a Football Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.